Merry Christmas. It is truly a joy that we get to celebrate this time together. We get to celebrate time with family. We get to celebrate opening gifts that people have worked hard for. Some of them are handmade gifts. We get to celebrate, ultimately, the birth of Jesus Christ. I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas, and I hope you have a wonderful day with whomever you live with, and that God would richly bless your time together. Today, as we have a special Christmas service, why on Christmas Day and not Christmas Eve? We say Christmas is the birth of Jesus Christ that we celebrate, whether it's the actual day, but it's the day that we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. What an opportunity to come together and hear the truth of who is this greatest gift that's ever been given to humanity. We'll talk about him in just a little bit. And I've got a special. I'm going to give you the story of the candy cane. That candy cane story ties in very well with the birth of Jesus Christ. A beautiful picture of who is Jesus. On a long ago, on a cold wintry morning, a warm light glowed in the windows of a candy shop. The old candy maker shuffled to the door. He hung open a open sign in the window. And as he did, he turned to the pot-bellied stove and knelt down to stir the coals and added several logs to the fire. All the while, he smiled, thinking about his 7-year-old granddaughter, Katie. "What can I give my Katie girl for Christmas?" he wondered. "I'll surprise her with a gift." Reaching under the counter, the candy maker pulled out an old trunk. He unpacked the old nativity set, hand-carved, and he carefully arranged the figures on the ledge of the window. Then he went right to work, refilling the jelly beans and butterscotch drops and mints and candy sticks. He chuckled as he thought about all the village children. He knew them all by name. He even knew their favorite candies. Looking over a list of Christmas orders, the old man marked an X beside the names of families with children. He said, "I'll add an extra surprise, an extra treat for these youngers," he said to himself. He said, I wish I could see their faces when they see the surprise." Humming a little Christmas carol, he opened the cupboard and took out an assortment of containers for the orders he needed to fill. Suddenly, the doorbells jingled and a blast of wind and snow blew into his shop. The old man's delight, a group of children scurried in like a flock of birds, covering over the counter. Laughing and talking, they crowded around the candy case to buy their treats. The youngest boy, some very well-worn mittens, was also against the glass case, staring at the candy display. The candy maker knew times were hard for Joey's family since his father died. Everyone except Joey laid their coins on the counter to buy their treats, their selected treats. The old man gladly chatted with the children while they packed their candy in small bags and he tied them with red ribbons. "I can't wait to decorate our house and tree tonight," said Ben. "I can't wait to get a new China doll for Christmas," bragged little Sarah. The other girl said nothing. The old man knew most families would have few Christmas gifts this year. Kim Lee spoke up. "Our school party is this Friday. We're going to eat cookies and play games." The candy maker laughed. "That will be fun for all of you." Hearing the clock chime, Ben announced, "Time for school!" Quickly handing out their sacks, the old man filled an extra bag and gave it to Joey, whose eyes filled with joy. "Thank you, Merry Christmas," called the children as they scrambled out the door. Watching from the window, the old man glanced down at the manger set his father had carved so many years ago. "I hope," he said, "the children won't miss the best gift of Christmas," he thought as he walked to the back of his shop where he knelt down by a chair to pray. "Dear Lord, you love these children more than I do. I want to help them know you and receive your gift at Christmas. Would you show me how I can bless them?" Gripping the chair, the candy maker pulled himself up. After he wiped the tears from his eyes, he measured the sugar and corn syrup into the old iron kettle, and then he lit a fire in the kitchen stove. Patiently, he stirred the mixture, waiting for it to boil. When the syrup began to bubble, a smile lit up on his face. "That's what I'll do. I'll make a new candy for Katie and all the children. A candy that tells about Christmas." "What flavor should it be?" Katie likes peppermint. Picking a small brown bottle, he carefully poured 3 drops into the pot and took a deep breath. This minty aroma reminds me of the spices the wise men gave Jesus. I want this candy to be different. I should make it white, because Jesus lived a pure and sinless life, something I could never do. I'll make this a hard candy, not soft or chewy, because Jesus is like a rock, dependable and trustworthy. After pouring the thick golden syrup into a bowl to cool, the candy maker looked around his shop searching for ideas. What else could this candy say about Jesus? Greasing his hands with butter, he lifted the sticky glob from the bowl and began to stretch it. The more he pulled, the smoother and whiter it became. Dear Lord, show me what to do with this candy, he prayed, pausing to look at the nativity set. An idea flashed in his mind. He quickly hand-rolled a clump of the mixture into the shape of a rope. After cutting a short piece, he gently curved one end, and triumphantly, he held it up and smiled. Now, what will Katie think when she sees this? What will she say? The jingling doorbells interrupted the candy maker's thoughts. Hi, Grandpa! I'm here! A rosy-cheeked girl skipped across the room. Laying down his candy stick, the old man turned to hug her. Hello, Katie. How's my favorite granddaughter? She laughed. Oh, Grandpa, you know I'm your only granddaughter. Yes, he chuckled. I know, but you're still my favorite. Katie's eyes widened when she spotted the candy stick. What are you making, Grandpa? It's a strange shape. The candy maker sat down to watch her. What do you think it is? He wrinkled his brows, waiting for her to answer. She grinned while turning the stick sideways and all around. I know, it's a cane like the one you take on your walks. The old man grinned. You're right. It does look like my cane. And Katie pointed to the nativity set. Look, the shepherd has one too. It's called a staff, he explained. Sometimes a shepherd lays his staff gently on a sheep's back to show love, like a warm hug. The staff comforts the sheep. It also guides them on the right path. Its hook helps rescue sheep when their woolly coats get snagged in thorny bushes. Shepherds also use their staff to pull sheep away from the danger, like a snake or a poisonous plant or a sharp drop-off or even a cliff. Smiling at her, he urged, Go ahead, taste it. When Katie licked the sweet stick, he continued, A good shepherd loves his sheep. He will do anything, even give his own life, to save his flock. The staff reminds us that Jesus is our good shepherd. The candy maker cut another piece and curved the end, turning the stick upside down. He asked Katie, Now what do you see? Her eyes lit up. It's a J! Why did you make a J? He smiled. You guess. Oh, I know! J is for Jesus! Yes, Katie. Christmas is the time we celebrate the birthday of Jesus. The candy J is my special Christmas gift for you. Thank you, Grandpa. It's yummy and smells good, too. But it kind of looks plain. It needs some color. You're right, he agreed. I wanted the candy to be white because Jesus is holy and sinless. But let's try adding a color. Use red, suggested Katie. I like red for Christmas. After selecting a jar from the cupboard, he picked out a small paintbrush in the drawer. What does red make you think of? He asked. Katie watched her grandfather dip his brush into the food coloring. Red makes me think of hearts and love, she said. Ah, you're helping me, dear girl. He replied while he carefully swirled a red stripe around the white cane. The Bible tells us, For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, Katie, may you never forget the very first Christmas gift. Was baby Jesus the first gift, she asked. Her grandfather nodded. He was God's gift of love to the world, the whole world. Red can remind us of God's love. He spoke as softly as he painted the stick, the thin line on the peppermint stick. Red is also the color of blood. The big red stripe is a special reminder of how Jesus shed his blood for us on the cross. It makes me sad that Jesus died, said Katie. Yes, dear girls, it is sad. But Jesus showed how much he loved us by giving his life so we could be forgiven. When you taste the sweet candy, think about his sweet love. Remember, Jesus isn't dead. He's alive. Isn't that a good reason to be happy? Katie nodded. Someday we'll all live in heaven just like Grandma. Tears blurred the old man's vision. Yes, we will. Heaven is God's gift that lasts forever. His eyes glistened as he handed Katie the finished candy. Watch how you hold it. It's still wet. The elderly shopkeeper leaned back in his chair. What do you think of this candy, Katie girl?
I like it, Grandpa. I want to give it to all my friends and tell them what it means.
Will you make some more?
Yes, he promised. We'll do it together. We'll work together. After I cut each stick, you can shape one end into a cane. You can even help paint a stripe.
This is going to be fun, she said, jumping up and down, and tears filled his eyes while he silently prayed.
Thank you, dear Lord, for hearing my prayers, and thank you for sending Katie to help me. The old man leaned forward and smiled at his granddaughter. Katie, dear, you are a part of God's answer to my prayers today. I wanted to give you a special gift for Christmas. You gave me a special gift. You helped me make a candy that tells the real meaning of Christmas, a candy that reminds us of Jesus. Katie threw her arms around her neck.
Oh, Grandpa, I love you. I'm glad I could help you.
Let's thank God for helping us, he said. Together they knelt to thank God, and they prayed that their candy gift would help many people know the true meaning of Christmas. Outside, the snow fell quietly, blanketing the little store inside. The warmth of the wood stove and sweet smell of candy filled the workshop. The candy maker and Katie knew they would always remember this day, but they would never dream this special gift would become part of a Christmas tradition around the world. Today, we call it the candy cane. The end of this story. What a wonderful truth that the candy cane gives us about the truth of Jesus. As I think upon this truth at this time, Jesus was the greatest man who ever lived, the greatest gift ever given. As you heard in the candy cane story, Jesus is a free gift to be given to everyone. It's important to remember him at this time of year. It's his birthday. His gift of love to all people, the fact that God himself would come to earth for you and me. We must not forget him today. He had many enemies. And yet his name is indelibly marked in history as the most influential man who ever lived. His arrival was heralded before a group of men who cared for sheep. These were not impressive men, nor their jobs glamorous. And yet in a most amazing way, they were told of the Savior of the world being born. A Savior is one who is saving me from a predicament of life. But what could this Savior possibly save us from? Was he a political Savior? Was he a financial Savior? Was he a cultural Savior? Was he a religious Savior? Was he a Savior of hope? Was he a Savior of good cheer? No, he was much greater than a temporary happiness that any of these Saviors, as we would think about, could afford. He was the one to reunite you and I, humanity, back into a relationship with God himself, back into God's loving and caring hands, and into an eternal relationship with him. And on this Christmas day, may you remember the story of Christmas. I'd like you to look with me in the Bible at Luke chapter 2, verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven,
The shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." The meaning of this story is not just some grand announcement of the great child, of the Christ child. It's not just about a group of angels in a most supernatural way appearing to humanity, appearing to some shepherd. It's not about a poor husband and wife who had just given birth to a baby boy in a manger, a feeding trough. It is not a rags-to-riches story. It's a story about a child who would grow to be a man, who would die for his enemies. But the question is, who were his enemies? You see, the truth is, all of us were his enemies. Because you see, there was something that kept all of us from God. That thing that kept us from God is a word that we call sin, or an offense against God. It was this sin, which is the ways I offend the Creator God, that keeps me from having this relationship with Him. You see, God is perfect and without sin. I was, as Psalm 51:5 says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." You know what? I was born in sin, shapen. I was formed. I was formed as a sinner. I was born with a selfish nature. If we were to look at the great book of Romans that was penned by and under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 12. This sinful nature, or the reason why this Christ child, the greatest gift, the Christmas gift, was given, was because you and I inherited a trait that put us at odds with God, put us out of a relationship with Him. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It reads, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Our ancient ancestor Adam and Eve, he messed up. And ever since then, every person born from Eve onward was all born with a sinful nature. And just like at Christmas time, we can be very selfish of our new gifts. I know sometimes a little kid gets a gift and, "Don't touch it, leave it alone." And sometimes even kids will push others and they'll get mad and they'll hit and maybe bite or whatever the case may be. We can be very selfish over our gifts. It's my candy. I'm not sharing it with anyone. I've waited all year for this. And maybe we can even be selfish over a particular Christmas movie or other things that we may watch, or maybe a part of a turkey or ham that you're eating. There are many things at Christmas time with which we can be selfish. There's also a lot where we express our love for our family and friends through a gift, gifts, because of our love and affection for that person. But what one man ruined for generations by his selfishness, another man gave us as a gift. Here in this verse, chapter 5, verse 12, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." What one man ruined, Adam, and what we ruin because of our sin, we get angry at others, we get mad, we get frustrated, and we think about that Christmas gift. But another man gave as a gift to humanity, as you'll find in Romans 5:8. "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." A gift to all of humanity. As a grandpa and Katie would discuss Jesus came to be a gift for you and I. It says in Romans chapter 5, verse 16, "And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification." Let me explain that. The condemnation is the fact that we are guilty before God. We're unable to have a relationship of our own doing. We can't be good enough. We can't go through some religious practice. We are out of fellowship. We're out of a relationship with Him, but He gave us a free gift. The bad things that we commit, lying and pride and anger and cursing and many other things, but He gave as a gift to humanity. He gave something. What did He give? He gave Himself, verse 17. "For if by one man's offense, the sin, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." What is that righteousness? And righteousness, that gift of righteousness, is the ability for me to have a right relationship with God. I can have a relationship with Him. I can be pleasing in His sight. That righteousness is being seen as right or pleasing in His sight. You see, every one of us want to have a good life, a comfortable life.
We want people to love us and to care for us. That's why at Christmas time, this gift of the Christ child is so precious. It is a time where traditionally we come together with family and those who are supposed to truly love and care for us. And in a perfect way, God loves us. He cares for us. He wanted to undo and transform what you and I have messed up, what Adam messed up. Why? Because we're selfish. We've done offensive actions. In verse 17, as I said, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, why do we have death? Because of sin. Death came as a curse on man because of sin. Much more they which received abundance of grace, a grace is what we don't deserve. He extends into it just like you'd give out a Christmas gift. And of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Christmas gifts are given not out of any merit, not because of what I've done, but maybe because mom and dad or whomever you live with, aunt or uncle, grandpa or grandma or whomever, they love you and they give you that gift. Sometimes even a person's been ornery, maybe just a real pill, if you want to say it. Really, no one has treated you absolutely perfect all year long. No one has treated you absolutely perfect all year long. And yet you still give them a gift. You extend a grace to them. In the same way, God extends a gift to us of righteousness. He extends a gift. He says, I want to make you my child. I want to give you a home in heaven forever when this life is over. He gives us the gift of being able to be acceptable and pleasing in His sight, a gift that we might call righteousness, acceptable and pleasing in His sight. It's as if we are seen as perfect before God. Our distant ancestor Adam was the first one to really mess it up, to offend God, cease from being perfect. Romans 5:18, therefore as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men into justification of life. Adam ruined it. You may think of it like a family member who maybe spills that really special dessert everyone's been waiting for, and the whole family just aghast, like, you just spilled grandma's pie. And I mean, you're just like huge disappointment. But in even a greater fashion, God was disappointed by our ancestors' action to Adam, but He's also disappointed by our selfish actions towards Him. But because of this perfect little child, Jesus, who would grow up and die on a cross, on a cruel Roman cross. Why? Because of my disobedience to the Creator God. I'm able to have the free gift of justification of life. He was innocent. Even those on the cross, the two thieves on the cross, would testify as such. He is innocent. The other one would say, if you're innocent, then get us off this cross. But one thief would say, he was innocent and done nothing amiss. And yet he still allowed himself to die on that cross. Not because of any bad he had done. He allowed himself to die on that cross because of his enemy. You and I. Enemies. Because of our sins. Sins that I've committed. And the term justification, as you'll find there in that verse, means just, if you want to think about it in a simple fashion, just as if I never sinned. Jesus, who was perfectly obedient to God, came and died for me, who was an enemy of God. Why? So that I could have the gift of a relationship with Him. I could have a relationship with Almighty Creator God. He gave His life as a gift to me. Christmas time, the gift of Jesus' life, so I could have a relationship with God. God came and died for me so I could have a relationship with Him. He pursues me. He did it because for those who refuse Him, there's a condemnation for those who refuse Him. But for those who accept Him, there's forgiveness and righteousness, being seen as innocent, pleasing in His sight. We say that truth in Romans 5:19. Wherefore, as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Adam, all inherited that sinful trait. But because of Jesus, we can inherit perfection. Now, as humans, we're not going to be perfect until we're with God someday, but you know, it's disappointing sometimes if you're at a Christmas party and maybe someone's kids are just being unruly, really increasing the stress of those, please don't touch this and don't touch this. I mean, you know, it's just, it gets kind of unnerving. And maybe this particular child ruins that really special gift that someone gave you and you're just absolutely frustrated, unnerved. I mean, you're agitated, like, why don't you control your kid or something like you say out of agitation.
You see, we did worse to God. And yet God was not frustrated with our selfish behavior. He didn't get rid of that kid. Get that person out of here. Get him out of here. What did he do instead? He gave himself on a cross, shedding his blood, dying as a thief, even though he was entirely innocent. He did this so that you and I could be seen as pure before God, sinless before him. Why? He wants a relationship with you. His death, his resurrection, but more importantly, his resurrection defeated the curse of sin. And he gave us the ability to enter into relationship with God. So when I pray, I can talk directly to God. When I die, I know I can go to spend with God forever in heaven. It was the shed blood of Jesus and his resurrection that gives me eternal life. This Christmas gift is open to anyone. Simple faith. Jesus died on that cross and rose again for my sins and yours. And if you'll simply ask him to forgive you and be your Savior, my friend, you will be born again. This Christmas gift of God is received this Christmas. And as you think about this, it is available to you right now. You don't need to do anything. Even the very thief on the cross, Lord, if it be possible, can I be with you today in paradise? And Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He couldn't go to church, couldn't be baptized, couldn't take communion, couldn't do anything else, simple by faith. So this Christmas day, will you accept by faith Jesus Christ? Will you simply by faith trust that you have offended God? Maybe you've sworn, you've said, oh my, and you said God's name in vain, or you'll say Jesus Christ in a very cursing type way. That's sin. Realize you're a sinner. You deserve God's punishment. God's punishment on sin is death. Both a physical death, but also an eternal death, as you'll no longer be with him. And then you'll simply call out to him, oh God, I'm sorry, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me and be my Savior. Be my Father. Be my Savior. You know what? You can't earn it. You can't lose it. He writes your name in the book of life. You didn't do anything to gain it. It's like a Christmas gift. Will you receive it? And if you'll receive that gift, simply ask God to forgive you and be your Savior, trusting that Jesus died on the cross and rose again. Jesus, who is God, died on the cross and rose again for you. And you'll just ask him, Lord, forgive me for my sins and be my Savior. That gift is yours. So I come to the conclusion, would you in simple faith take the gift of Jesus Christ, asking him to forgive you of all your sin you've committed and be your Savior? Let this Christmas day be a day to receive the most expensive and priceless gift ever given. And yet it's a gift that costs you nothing. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. On this Christmas day, may those of you who are believers be thankful for the gift of everlasting life that we didn't earn, we couldn't pay for. It was out of our reach, and yet we can't lose it. It was a gift that was given to us. You don't give someone a gift and then try to take it back from them. That, you just don't do that. And may we, like Katie, desire to give to others this most sacred and special gift. And I want to wish all of you a Merry Christmas. May we exalt the Lord of Christmas on this very special day. May God be real to you today. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, just ask him, Lord, forgive me my sins. I know you died on the cross and rose again. Forgive me and be my Savior. And Christian, we celebrate the greatest gift ever given, the most expensive gift, the life of Jesus. As we celebrate his birth today, may we remember the gift that we have been given. Not only the gift of life today, wherein we don't have to be bound to sin and the power of sin over us. We don't have to fall into all the sinful behaviors. No, we have freedom from that if we'll walk with God, but also we've been given freedom, the fact that we don't need God's judgment and wrath is not on us when we die. We can have an eternal home with God in heaven. I want to wish all of you a Merry Christmas. Let us pray, and I hope you'll have a wonderful day. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the wonderful, gracious gift that you've given. It's something we don't deserve. Father, I love you, and I thank you for this time. I pray that you be with each and every person. If they're having a hard day, Lord, I pray that you'd encourage their heart. Lord, if they don't know you as their Savior and they've been trusting in religion and maybe prayers and Bible reading or other things, but never put their full faith exclusively in Jesus, Lord, I pray today would be the day of salvation. Lord, we're guilty. We're like Adam. We're all sinners. But Father, today may we accept you as our personal Savior. And may we as Christians embrace the gift that we cannot lose. Father, I love you. Thank you for all that you'll do. Help us to have a wonderful Christmas. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Merry Christmas. God bless you.